I also want you to know that our God is a God of making sure that we get sometimes what we don't hear, that comes out of our mouth. On Sunday, the word abundance came out of my mouth. And I really did not remember it. To be very, very truthful, I don't remember when it came out. But Peggy showed up on Monday night for the feast and said, this is the word that you gave. And so she gave me this word, right? And so I had the nudge to put it on the altar so that we would have that word abundance, sticking out in our face, making sure that we don't lose track. And it's give thanks for his abundance. Now, giving thanks for his abundance is a choice we make, because we don't have a feeling of, saying thank you sometimes. But when we are obedient, the Holy Spirit will definitely take us higher. So, I had a word of knowledge that was given to me by a lady last night as she walked away from me. And it prompted me to re-listen to the prophetic word that Attorney Jay McMahon gave in February. Well, I listened to that CD a couple of times when I first got it. But to be very honest with you, it takes time to digest. Sometimes you read something, you study something, and it just doesn't click. Your brain's not, you know. So anyway, I last night I'm driving home and the nudge comes to pull the CD out, and I started to listen to it, and by the time I got to the other side of Ludlow, I found myself jumping inside the car because there was one word that actually Jay spoke over me that he repeated, can you imagine, four times? And it's the word abundance. Yeah, that's what I said. And here I am clapping my hands on the way, and I'm thinking, oh my God, if anybody's watching me, they're going to think I'm some kind of a real nut, which I am. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But they can think whatever they want. All right? I was happy because you see, that word that came out Sunday, repeated yesterday in writing, now confirmed with the man of God speaking over me, the word four times. I mean, he didn't say once, twice, four times. I mean, do you get the clue? Abundance is reality. It's going to happen. So be ready because this is the season of abundance. For what we are now going into is the fullness of this feast. And this feast was truly an abundance of mercy from our God when you think about it. And of course, tonight, having the pleasure of praying with this young man and watching his spirit come alive for the first time. And yes, he had some tears, and then he had some joy, and then we got some giggles. And it's God, okay? It's not something that he got high on. It's something that God did to raise him up and to lift him up and to strengthen him. So he got the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, I know many people that when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, when I did, I mean, they parked at that place and thought they had it all. Wrong. It's a starting point. If a brand new baby gets a new language and he begins to speak, well, do we encourage him or do we try to just say, oh, you got it all, you got it all, get happy, you're all set? No, we encourage him. We say, now we're going to get you some education. Now, in my situation, they moved me out of the country and said, now you got to learn a brand new language. And I wasn't happy. Kim was not a happy camper. But that was God's plan. Okay? Later on, I could have studied other languages. But you know what? I'd had it up to here. Okay? I didn't want any more. But God decided several years later that I needed another language, His Holy Spirit language. And that was such a marvelous mechanism that He provided out of my spirit so that I could pray directly to my Father, no hindrances, and it was an awesome time. So, at the festive time, when the Jews of different countries were in Jerusalem to celebrate this annual feast, the intervals between Pentecost and Tabernacles was the time for offering first fruits, which is what I shared with you yesterday, to ask the Lord for your first fruit offerings. Now, if God decides to bless us, and He does, we need to honor Him with the beginning of it. And I know that we could go into the tithes and 10% and all that stuff and a lot of legal stuff, and I don't want to go there. Because you know what? It's between you and God. I know what the law says, and I could lay the law down and say, you got to do. But you know what? There's enough problems in the earth. I don't need to be another problem for you. I thought I'd get a lot of amens, and I didn't get any amens. Now, there's 8 days of prayer focus, and if you've got your pad and pencil, I'd like to share a little bit of it with you. It's not compulsory, but this is a time for harvest praying. Harvest praying. The following 8-day prayer focus will help you to understand and enter into this harvest season. Now, how many know we're going to have strawberries coming up in our neighborhoods? We're going to have not the ones that are flown out from California and forced into red and forced into ripening, and they taste like, oh, the strawberries, but. I mean, I remember going strawberry picking, and I had competition with my dog because my dog was a strawberry lover. So all we had to do is watch, and she'd go find the patches. And I'm not exaggerating. She'd get to the best patches before I could. And that was when I was 7 and 8 years old. 6, 7, 8, whatever. Anyway, day number one. Read Hosea chapter 6. That's Hosea chapter 6. Especially verse 11. And ask the Lord to revive and raise you up. Ask Him to reveal you your harvest. Also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed for you when I return the captives of my people. Day number two, read Exodus chapter 23, especially verse 16. That's Exodus 23, especially verse 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labor, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingatherings at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labor from the fields. Thank God for His leading. Be willing to follow Him. Thank Him that He has given you first fruits. Day number three. Read Genesis chapter 2, verses, and I believe, 8, 22. So it's Genesis chapter 2. And then chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remains seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease, ask the Lord to reveal your harvest season to you. See, if you don't ask, you won't get. Is that the truth? Okay, day number four. Read John chapter 16, verses 7 and verse 13. The old Jewish festivals obtained a new significance for the Christian church by the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you new and fresh. To fill you new and fresh. Day number five. Read John chapter 17. Take Holy Communion. Ask the Lord to reveal any horizontal relationship that is not right. That means if you're having a problem with somebody, pray about it. Say, Lord, I want this thing cleaned up. I want healing in my home. I want healing with those that I relate to, families, especially those that you work with. We're getting amens? That can be tough. Day number six. Day number six. Read Job chapter 5, especially verse 5. Because the hungry eat up, his harvest, taking it even from the thorns, and a snare snatches their substance, ask the Lord to show you the enemy that has had access to your harvest. We prayed about that last night, but this will go a little tiny bit deeper. Because sometimes, you know, you try to put money away for a certain project or something that you want to do or save up for, and every time you do, it just gets sucked up. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. The harder you try to work at that, and I had that problem, and every time I had a little nest egg put aside for something, something always would happen, and I'd say, God, every time. Well, I didn't realize that even as I would put the money away, that there was already a thought pattern entering in. I wonder if it's going to happen again. And God was starting to remind me, don't let those thoughts rule your future. That was a negative thought pattern that the enemy was putting in me, and it was robbing my harvest. And I wasn't going to get the benefits of it. Day number seven. Read 1 Samuel 12, especially verse 17. That's 1 Samuel 12, especially verse 17. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking a king for yourself. Ask the Lord if there are any judgments on your harvest. Again, what was the problem? They wanted a king ahead of God's schedule. God had already prepared a king. But they ended up with the wrong one because they wanted the handsome one, the one that had all the attributes of a king, and the little runt that was in the back growing up was the chosen vessel, and nobody wanted him, including his family. Number eight, read Proverbs 6, verse 8. The harvest mentality of ants is mentioned as a lesson for the sluggard. Break any apathy that is stopping you from moving forward. Now that's pretty serious. If you see an attitude of, just don't feel like doing this today. Well, the ants don't have that attitude. They're busy. They're doing what they need to do. They get on that bandwagon. They pull together. They coordinate. And there's a lesson for us, even from God. So Proverbs 6:8 is quite especially good for those who have a problem doing their homework, doing chores, maybe when they're not feeling quite up to it. The ant doesn't say, oh, I think I'm tired today. I'm taking a week's vacation. So those are the things that I believe may help you to go a little higher with what God wants. Also, I thought you were all done, huh? Not quite. Memorize Proverbs 20, verse 4. Memorize Proverbs 20, verse 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Ask the Lord to reveal any area of laziness in your life that has stopped you from plowing. Meditate on Proverbs 10, verse 5. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Break the spirit of slumber and ask the Lord if you have rested when you should have gathered. Blessing. This is taken from Chuck Pierce and Glory of Zion Ministries. And when I read this, I said, Lord, we have to share this as a family because there's so much good food in here. And it's not that you got to do this according to all those dictates. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want from me? How can I break forth into this new season? Going up into Tabernacles, which is, like I told you guys, in October. But to really understand that God has got an awesome plan for his people. And when we do it his way, we will be blessed. Do you have an addition?
Saying it again, wait a minute, I have this in my Bible because I just did this. Because I get his newsletter direct, you know, right from Glory of Zion, and I did, I had started that on the 22nd.
Yeah.
And there's a little on the 29th of May, when I was still doing it, the Lord gave me a vision after I had done the little part for that day of a transparent heart, and similar to the vision the Lord had given Dee a while back, but this time the heart was breaking open and the dove was flying out.
Ooh.
I'm not, I'm not as good an artist as Dee, but and the dove flew out, and as the dove was flying up, the dove looked me straight in the face, and the eyes were just like light.
Yes.
It was total light, and then it just kind of like...
Oh, he went away!
He went away. But not before this.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there were fruit to the obedience. Okay. Anyone else?
Very emphatic that as you begin to grow in the Lord,
yes,
that fact comes and
yes,
it's very deceptive.
Yeah. You don't need to do anything, you don't have to act, you don't have to react, you can just be lazy and it's okay, you can rest. See, too much rest is not, see, balance. The other thing that I wanted to remind you of is character. John Paul Jackson wrote a book about character above giftedness. If you have a problem with building character, it's because it's something that needs to be in the body of Christ. I can remember having people having intense gifts of God. I mean, the giftings were awesome. But the character traits were so unbelievably missing, point blank, missing. They were just not there. And they would get me so frustrated, and I'd say, oh my God, what's wrong with me? And I would be going home, and I would try to figure out what is wrong with me until the Holy Spirit had me purchase John Paul's book about character above giftedness. Now, what does that mean? It means without character. You can have these intense gifts, visions, awesome words of knowledge, words for healing. But if you don't know when to apply it, or how to apply it, or how to respect your brother and respect your sister, how to be loving in all circumstances, what are you going to be like? What kind of, let's say, witness are you for the Lord Jesus Christ? And, you know, I would end up blaming myself because I had such high expectations of these individuals that had these intense gifts. But their accountability to God and to man was just not there. And they would give all these excuses, and I would look and I would say to the Lord, you know, it's disgusting. And I remember one time, the Holy Spirit, after I read the book, the Holy Spirit, as I'm pondering about this particular person that I was having a real struggle with. Now, I probably could describe this person as a professional a professional student. I was going to say educational freak, but that's not too nice. But you know, as long as they were in school, well, I was going to say it, I'm not going to hide it. That's exactly what they were, okay? In my opinion now, and I have a right to my opinion. That doesn't make me God. And they went to school, and they went to school, and they went to school, and they got this degree, and they got that degree. But you know what? They couldn't even pay the rent. All right? And they would always be looking for handouts. And I'd say, God. And one time, I said to the Lord, am I out of my tree or are they wrong? And I heard the Lord is there say to my heart, their deception is not veiled to those who are awake. Their deception is not veiled to those who are awake. Meaning, you're awake, you can see, and so can I. They're not deceiving me. They are deceived. And they're not willing to change. But they had these high, high hopes of becoming something so awesome. But you know what? They didn't become anything. All they got was certificates on a wall. And you know what? That doesn't even pay lunch. And I remember there was a man of God that had said that some people have more degrees than thermometers. You can have lots and lots of degrees, but if you don't have character on how to live everyday life, how to take care of your home, how to take care of yourself, how to take care of your family, that's priority. And then the gifts and how to apply them and how to put them into place and practice what God tells you to do in a very ordinary, common sense way of life. You don't need to be somebody else. You need to be you. You don't need to force yourself to be something different. You need to be you. But if there's a weakness in you, if there's an area that you're not, let's say, maybe quite where you'd like to be, ask the Holy Spirit. He knows exactly what to do. He knows how to construct, and he knows how to rebuild whatever it is that's in you and me that's missing. That's my prayer for this Pentecost. And for the harvest that's coming, I believe that we will have to be accountable and we will have to have character. Any additions? How your heads? Yeah.
The saints must realize that the power gifts cannot fix character flaws, nor replace the need to be made whole and mature as a new creation. These marvels take place only as Christ is formed in us. And then Steve Schultz makes a comment. Gifts are freely given, but fruit must.
Yes. And do you remember? Oh, no, it wasn't. It wasn't something that I did here. Last Thursday night, the Lord brought a message through my heart when I was up in Vermont. And the message was, are any fruit on your tree? Are there any fruit on your tree? And, you know, I just want to say that when we declare that we are supposedly great men and women of God, we are. Those character traits are what's going to bring that fruit. And that's what will awaken many saints to the reality of, yes, we are being blessed because we've been tenacious. We have done our homework. We have done what we're supposed to do. And to the best of our ability, we continue to do so. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, I just want to thank you for those that are listening to this message and are probably hitting a few rough corners and probably maybe a little bit uncomfortable about how you're going to change them. But it's not hard to release it as we humble ourselves and say to you, help me in my weakness. Change me and transform me so that I can be like Christ Jesus in every way, so that your glory may be seen in me and my accountability will be helpful to those that are hunting for you and see them in me. And all of God's people said,
amen. And amen.